The market doesn't joke around, so why would you? Get serious. Choose Tastytrade. Tastytrade gives you the tools you need to make smarter moves. Dig into data with advanced charting, track profit accurately with order chain trackers, see risk clearly with curve analysis, and trade with low-capped commissions, stocks, options, futures, and more. All on one platform. No wonder serious traders choose Tastytrade. Join the club, genius. Tasty Trading is a registered broker-dealer and member of FINRA and SIPC.
I'm Frank Holland, and you're listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. Our show is live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern. Listen in. It is 5 a.m. hit CNBC Global Headquarters. It's 10 a.m. here in London. I'm Frank Holland, and here is your 5 at 5. Stocks renewed momentum continuing to find some support, with the S&P coming off its best day in just about 2 months. Futures are pointing to more gains. A big boost coming thanks to Tesla. Shares firing on all cylinders ahead of the open, despite reporting its biggest drop in Q1 revenue in more than a decade. We are going to dig into those results. Heading to the president's desk, the Senate signing off on that bill to force TikTok's parent company to sell the popular app, setting the stage for a big legal fight. Plus, this week's earnings parade, it just rolls on. Meta takes the big tech baton today as it navigates ad growth and AI spending. We're going to look at the key metrics you need to watch. And Boeing also set to report in just over 2 hours as the aerospace giant continues to face a bumpy road ahead around production issues and succession questions. It is Wednesday, April the 24th, 2024, and you are watching Worldwide Exchange right here on CNBC. Good morning. Welcome to Worldwide Exchange. We are coming to you live from CNBC London. Thank you so much for being here with us. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. As always, we're going to kick off the hour with a check of U.S. stock futures, with the S&P and the Nasdaq notching their second straight day of gains, with the S&P seeing its best day since late February. The Dow extending its win streak to four straight days. Taking a look, bit of a mixed picture right now. The Dow just turned fractionally negative just a few seconds ago. The Nasdaq up over 0.5%. We'll be talking much more about that. The S&P solidly in the green right now. Investors likely getting more fresh momentum with another big day of earnings on tap. We get results from Meta, Boeing, AT&T, Ford, and IBM, just to name a few. Much more on Meta and Boeing coming up later in the show. Right now, we're checking the bond market after yields. They slipped just a bit on the back of fresh manufacturing data, durable goods data. That's out later this morning. Taking a look, right now we see the benchmark 10-year at 4.62, just pulled back just very slightly. Important to note, the 2-year right now at 4.94, it very briefly yesterday hit 5% yield again, pulling back just about 6 basis points this morning. We also want to get a check on oil. Data showing a surprise drop in U.S. crude stocks last week, a positive sign for demand. Taking a look at the oil market right now, we still see it under a bit of pressure. We continue to see oil trading lower. WTI, the U.S. benchmark, trading evenly at $83 a barrel, down almost 0.5%. Brent crude, not as hard hit, down just about 0.33%, trading at about 88.11 cents per barrel. Okay, that's your morning setup. Now to your big money mover of today. What else is it? We're talking Tesla. It's soaring. And that's despite a dismal start to the year for the world's most valuable automaker. First quarter profit plunging to its lowest level since 2021, while revenue that dropped 9%, reflecting a decline in vehicle prices and deliveries. Operating margins, they were cut by more than a half from a year ago. But investors, they are focusing on Tesla, saying it will speed up the launch of new models, including more affordable cars that could go into production in the second half of next year. That's something that CEO Elon Musk talked about on the earnings call.
These new vehicles, including more affordable models, will use aspects of the next generation platform, as well as aspects of our current platforms, and will be able to be produced on the same manufacturing lines as our current vehicle lineup. So it's not contingent on any new factory or massive new production line. It'll be made on our current production lines much more efficiently.
So Elon Musk also sharing new details about plans for a dedicated robo-taxi and ride-hailing network. He says Tesla would operate its own fleet and let customers use their vehicles for the service, which he compares to Airbnb. Let's bring in Tom Narayan of RBC Capital Markets, who was on that Tesla call last night. Tom, good morning. It's good to see you. I'm going to jump into this. Looking at shares right now, they're off their highs, but they're still up just about double digits despite misses on the top and the bottom line. But you say their actual earnings number, believe it or not, they're just background noise. It's not really that all important. So I want to ask you, is the Model 2, is that really a game changer? Is that what's pushing this stock higher this morning?
100%. People like me who are bullish on the stock can finally take their paper bags off their heads. But yeah, basically, all the expectations coming into the quarter, there were some news articles that came out of Reuters saying that they were going to shelve this Model 2. And the fear there is you would have years without any growth, right? Because the Model 3 and the Model Y have slowed significantly. So not only is the Model 2 happening, but it's going to actually be accelerated by making the cars on existing facilities instead of new facilities to be built. So yeah, so a lot of those fears that came into the print that were so people were so worried have completely evaporated. If anything, now folks are looking at an accelerated pace.
So, Tom, I want to ask you, because the way you phrase it is that the fact that, in your mind, building the Model 2 on an existing platform, that's a good thing. I've heard other people say, well, that's just not really a good thing because it's not creating a unique vehicle. But you're OK with that. Just very quickly, that's fine in your mind?
Yeah, I think so, because for me, that car was never going to be about its own profitability. A lot of other folks had that. For me, it's about selling autonomy. We just need more Teslas on the road so they can sell FSD.
Okay. I mean, you don't have full conviction on that one, but you're like, eh, it's okay. Just in all fairness, I've heard a number of European auto executives say that to be competitive with Chinese autos, they just need to strip out all the bells and whistles out of their European EVs, and then they'd be popular. So sounds like Elon Musk might be taking a page out of their book. I want to go to your earlier comment. You are a Tesla bull. So your price target for Tesla, $294, it implies a more than 75% upside. So you are very bullish, much more bullish than the street average of $189. So give me a sense. When it comes to the Model 2, when it comes to the Robotaxi, when it comes to Optimus, the energy story business, rough percentages, just rough sense. How are you factoring each one of those into your price target? What's the most important thing?
Yeah, so I actually haven't changed all that much. It's 60% is Robotaxi. It has been for about a year now. FSD is about 20%. Megapax is about 10%. And then less than 10% is actually the cars.
So wait, the Model 2 is a game changer, but it's less than 10% of your thesis for a $294 price target?
No, because the car itself is not a game changer, but the fact that it can sell FSD, that makes it a game changer, which then translates into level 4 robotaxis down the future because now the software is proven.
It's increasing the capacity. Okay, I understand there. I want to get to Robotaxi. So our Phil LeBeau, he's been very vocal about full self-driving being many years away. Other analysts have been on our air since Tesla reported, even before Tesla reported, saying we're years away from that. Some people even putting out a decade away from that. So in your mind, when is it realistic to see these Tesla Robotaxis on the road? And will they be full self-driving or will they drive, just to kind of simplify it, in a loop that it's considerably easier to have an autonomous vehicle go on a loop or a track? And that's why we see those functions more for industrial and supply chain.
Yeah, so I want to differentiate FSD from Robotaxi. FSD is just a level 2 plus, which is an amazing product on the road that where you're driving the car and it assists you. Robotaxi, I do believe, will be 100% level 4. It is a far away from now, no doubt about it. Could be a decade away. Cities will have to re-engineer themselves to allow for them to happen. But make no mistake, they are happening. The reason for my bullishness isn't that it's going to happen right around the corner, but that it's going to happen way down the road. But it's such a big transformational event that you discount back the revenue stream and the multiple on that because it's a software business, and you get tremendous value from this product.
You know, just for the audience, Tom, very quickly, you said level 4, not level 5. Level 5 is the highest level. That means the vehicle just really drives on its own. So just very quickly, when you say level 4, what does that mean for a practical sense?
I think level 5 is like science fiction. Don't even just get that out of your mind. Car is not going to just take you to wherever. I mean, level 4 just means it's driving you, but it's on a road or it's in a dedicated path or it's somewhat geofenced to some extent. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a Business Network, not Sci-Fi Channel, Tom, so we're going to leave it there. Your Tesla price target, $294, one of the most bullish on the street. Great to see you. Tom Narayan from RBC Capital Markets. All right, Tom, now for a look at some of your other big money movers this morning. We're going to start off with shares of Mattel. They're popping after the toy maker posted narrower than expected losses thanks to its cost-cutting program, revenue falling by 1%. That was offset by strength from its Barbie, Hot Wheels, and Fisher-Price brands. Mattel CEO telling our Jim Cramer last night, he remains very optimistic about future growth opportunities.
We're executing on our $1 billion share repurchase program and just bought $100 million of share in the quarter. We expect to outpace the industry and gain share and reaffirm guidance for the year. And the plan for the year is to emphasize profitability, gross margin expansion, and strong cash generation, and return to top-line growth in 2025.
Shares of Visa, they're also higher on an earnings beat. Payments volume increasing by 8%, processed transactions by 11% as consumer spending trends remain stable. The company also reiterating its full-year revenue guidance of low double-digit revenue growth. Shares of Visa up just over 2.5%. We're also looking at shares of Texas Instruments. They're rallying this morning. Revenue guidance coming in above expectations as slumping demand for analog semiconductors finally shows some signs of easing. TI also beating earnings estimates during the previous quarter, though sales did fall from the prior year. Shares of TI right now up 7.25%. All right, time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau, she's back at CNBC HQ with those. Silvana, good morning.
Hey, Frank, good morning to you all. The Senate passing that bill that would force TikTok's parent company to sell the social media app or face a potential ban here in the U.S. The bill now goes to President Biden, who said in a statement immediately after the passage that he will sign it today. Once signed, TikTok's parent company ByteDance would have 9 months to sell, though that could be extended. TikTok has signaled it will file a lawsuit to block the legislation, and shares of several social media competitors getting a bump in the pre-market on the back of that development. Meanwhile, the approval of that TikTok bill coming as part of a larger package that will also provide billions in foreign aid. Now, that includes roughly $60 billion for Ukraine aid, $26 billion for Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan and Indo-Pacific security. President Biden says, once signed, the U.S. should begin sending weapons and equipment to Ukraine this week, Frank.
All right, Silvana, thank you very much. We'll see you a bit later in the show. All right, coming up, we got a lot more ahead here on Worldwide Exchange, including the one word that investors have to know today. But first, tech catching a fresh bid from investors as of late. What famed investor Howard Marks told me about the continued caution around the MAX 7 that he has. Plus, fresh problems for Boeing as it prepares to report its results. Details on what has the aerospace giant in hot water with regulators now. And then later, let's make a deal. The potential acquisition apparently on IBM's agenda to help it rise in the cloud. We have a very busy hour still ahead when Worldwide Exchange returns. Make sure you stay with us.
What does it mean to be rich? Is it having more stories to share or time to give? Is it being able to keep your loved ones close or travel somewhere far away? At Edward Jones, we believe the key to being rich is knowing what counts. Your dedicated financial advisor will take a comprehensive approach to your financial strategy to help support what truly matters to you. EdwardJones.com/findyourrich. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Wall Street is coming off another solid day of gains with the S&P 500 posting its strongest two-day performance since February, the Nasdaq higher for a second straight session, with the rally largely being led by the 2% gain from the MAG 7, which got an even bigger boost after the close with the surge in Tesla. I spoke with famed investor Howard Marks, who runs Oaktree Capital Management. Despite this renewed enthusiasm for tech this week, he is still sounding a note of caution.
I just think that in our business in general, there is no room for certainty, as Twain would say, and that extends to the Magnificent Seven as well. And I must say, when I was listening to your question, every bubble ensues from widespread conviction. Everybody believes A, they bid the beneficiaries of A up to the moon. It turns out it's overdone.
All right, let's get reaction to that and discuss the broader markets. Hannah Gooch Peters is a global equity investment analyst at Sanlim Investments. Hannah, good morning from London. Good to see you. I'm going to get into it. What did you think of Howard Marks' comments? I know you two are also looking for cracks in the Mag 7.
Good morning, Frank. Yeah, I think that the really important thing for us from here is selectivity. So if you're looking at the Magnificent Seven, perhaps what has performed, you know, very well over the past year, 2 years, may not be the best performers going forward. We've already seen cracks in a number of names such as Apple and Tesla. And I think that one can just perhaps find better return expectations from here if you look for selectivity outside of the Magnificent Seven, if you focus on valuations and durability of earnings growth.
So as you say that, by the way, Howard Marks is responding to a question I asked him about a stat that we showed on the show yesterday, that the Mag 7 are forecast to see 40% year-over-year earnings growth, while the rest of the S&P 493 is expected to see a 3% decline. So as you say that, how are you not deeply into the Magnificent Seven with that kind of earnings growth expected and the rest of the market seeing a decline?
Well, we do hold Microsoft and Alphabet. We've been very good sort of long-term beneficiaries of the growth in those companies. If one looks outside of the Magnificent Seven, it doesn't have to be a Magnificent Seven stock to have very good earnings growth from here. I think that might be very biased towards NVIDIA, perhaps, that has shown exceptional earnings growth over the past year. But if you have a look, then, like I said before, at the sort of Teslas and Apples, for example, maybe you're not seeing those same levels. So I think that if you just have a chance to look outside of those seven, there are some great opportunities in companies that aren't getting the headlines, haven't been dominating the market, to buy into them at more reasonable valuations and still get very good earnings growth.
You know, speaking of, you actually talked to us in your notes about United Healthcare. I'm looking at the charts, though. Month to date, it's down more than 1.5%. The health sector, actually, one of the laggards, down more than 4.5%. But you say this is a valuation play. Just explain this to me with this kind of stock decline. UNH is trading at about 18 times forward earnings, the S&P at about 20.5 times forward earnings. Is there enough of a valuation discount in your mind to accept this kind of a stock decline from a company like this?
So it's a great question, Frank. And actually, United Health Group is a leading managed care organization in the US, and it's trading at its largest discount to the S&P 500 in almost a decade. It looks about 7% free cash yield. And this is a company that is forecast to grow its earnings between 14% to 16% going forward. And it's shown actually 17% compound earnings growth over the past decade, which is far, far in excess of your average company. And so if you think about the scale, the barriers to entry, and then also the valuation that you're getting for buying this name, simply because it's out of favor at the moment, there's a bit of political noise and headline risk going on there, but that discount to the S&P 500 combined with the valuation and the earnings potential of this company, and indeed it's done exceptionally well long-term, we think is providing a very good entry point into this name.
All right, Hannah Gooch-Peters, we got to leave the conversation there. Great to see you as always. Thank you very much. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, Oracle setting up shop in one southern hotspot, recently profiled in CNBC's Cities of Success, the sector outside of tech, motivating the company to relocate when Worldwide Exchange returns. Stay with us.
Welcome to the Canva guided meditation for stress at work. Impending deadline? Generate Canva presentations in seconds.
So fast.
Brainstorm got too big? Summarize with AI in a click. Click, 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 click. Writer's block. Release with Canva Magic Write.
Magical.
Stress less and save time at canva.com. Designed for work.
Canva. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. The FAA is launching a new probe into Boeing. The agency is looking at claims by one union that the aerospace giant retaliated against two employees who argue that the company should reevaluate prior engineering work in its 777 and 787 jets. In a statement to Reuters, Boeing says it has zero tolerance for retaliation and encourages employees to speak up when they see an issue. Meanwhile, Boeing announcing it will give Spirit AeroSystems $425 million in advance payments to help it address the supplier's ongoing issues. That includes higher levels of inventory and lower cash flow. The agreement comes as the two companies, they continue their talks for Boeing to buy the fuselage supplier. The developments coming ahead of Boeing's earnings set for release in just about 2 hours. Plenty for investors to focus on, including production issues in the wake of that early January door plug incident involving one of its jets. The stock is down 30% since then. There's also management questions after CEO Dave Calhoun announced last month he's going to step down at the end of this year without naming a successor. For much more, let's bring in Bert Subin, aerospace analyst at Stifel. Bert, good morning from London. I'm going to get into it. You have a price target of 260 for Boeing. You have a buy rating on it. At the same time, you say the near term is going to be challenging. What long-term thesis are you seeing in a company that still hasn't found its new CEO?
Yeah, I mean, you hit on well, first of all, thanks for having me on the program. You hit on a lot of the obviously the points of uncertainty that we're currently sort of weighing through. Our buy rating is really a function of where the demand equation sits right now. And if you look at where backlog is, we actually expect to hit a all-time high in the first quarter of 24. And so while we're currently dealing with what we've deemed to be sort of temporary production challenges, the demand equation with airlines is very strong. Boeing continues to have a market dominant position on wide bodies, and we think there's an opportunity for them to start gaining more share in narrow bodies over time. So our view has been, you have to look past the, this quarter, the next quarter, probably the couple after that. But the further you go out into time, production numbers start to improve. The backlog for this company is well north of $500 billion. And so there's a lot of potential monetization.
Burr, that's quite the narrative. So you're saying let's just discount the next fiscal year pretty much and look beyond that. So I do want to ask you, when it comes to the stock price, at least, do you think Boeing is pretty much bottomed? And if they do actually acquire Spirit AeroSystems, is that going to ring as a positive to investors or a negative?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now we're sort of in this process of watching numbers bottom. See, if you would look at the estimates on free cash flow, right, they've come down pretty significantly in the last 6 weeks. I think there's potentially some more to come after the first quarter earnings, but then you're probably getting to a position where, expectations are more realistic, and then there becomes an, potential for those to, for them to outperform. The Spirit acquisition comes up a lot. I mean, the reality of it is relative to Boeing size, it's not tremendous. Right now the complexity is trying to figure out what to do with the Airbus assets and the Airbus facilities, and that's leading to a delay in that process.
Yeah, by the way, when you say trying to figure out what to do with Airbus, it's trying to figure out how to separate the Airbus business from Spirit AeroSystems. They try to purchase it. So, you're the aerospace expert, but I just walk me through this. We're talking about Boeing, a company with some serious production issues, looking to buy another company with serious production issues and then separate from one of its largest customers. That's a positive for this stock, possibly, in your mind? Is there a way that can be positive?
Yeah, I mean, I think the better way to look at this potential acquisition of Spirit is Boeing needs to get its arms around its supply chain, and its largest supplier is Spirit AeroSystems, and there's been a variety of quality issues there in recent years. And so by bringing that in-house and by essentially consolidating its supply chain, I think that would demonstrate to the FAA that, Boeing is taking an actionable step toward, improving the supply chain. And so that's the way we're looking at the deal. Now, the Airbus portion of it, obviously, it introduces a lot of complexity.
All right, quite a bit of complexity there. Something else that seems to be a bit complex is the CEO succession. Dave Calhoun already announced he's stepping down. What do you see happening next? How does this all play out? And this is a very big and integral company to not have clear leadership or a clear succession plan.
Yeah, I mean, I think they did have a clear succession plan. It just changed, right? I mean, Stephanie Pope was put into essentially the COO role and was indicated to be the next CEO. That, I think is changing in favor of an external hire, which makes sense. And I think investors need a favor. The way we're looking at it is that's probably the big catalyst we're watching. And so once you get the CEO announcement, I think things can really start to come into fold. They've said by year end, we imagine it'll be faster than that. I think the investor favorite right now is Larry Kolb, but there's some questions around whether he'd leave GE and be interested in the role. So some uncertainty there. And until that clears, that's sort of part of our rationale on why we think it'll be choppy.
If it does end up being an internal candidate, does that change your price target, your thesis, your rating? Does that change your views on this company?
Yeah, if it's an internal candidate, I think you'll have a more difficult rhetoric for sure, because I think the idea is you need to think about sort of the process toward a fresh start and a fresh look at the supply chain and the production challenges they faced.
I think a lot of people at Boeing would like a fresh start, Burt Sue, and we got to leave the conversation there ahead of earnings. Boeing shares up over 1%. Thank you. And CEO Dave Calhoun, he's going to be coming up here on CNBC to discuss earnings. He's going to join CNBC exclusively at 9 a.m. Eastern. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, luxury letdown, the new warning from Kering that has shares tumbling. We'll be right back after this break. Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. I am Frank Holland coming to you from CNBC London. Thank you so much for joining us. Let's get you ready for the trading day ahead. We're going to pick up the half an hour with a check of U.S. stock futures. Taking a look right now, we are seeing the NASDAQ in the lead right now, up over a half a percent, moving higher off those Tesla results. Right now, the Dow just fractionally lower, the S&P pretty close to the flat line. But we'll be talking much more about Tesla in just a moment. Investors set to potentially get some fresh momentum with another big day of earnings on tap. We get results from Meta, Boeing, AT&T, Ford, and IBM, just to name a few of the companies reporting their earnings. This morning, we're also checking the bond market after yields. They slipped just a bit on the back of fresh manufacturing data. Taking a look right now, we're seeing the benchmark. It's trading right now at about 4.63, just pulling back just a few basis points yesterday. Right now, the two-year, though, trading at about 4.94. Important to note, it very briefly touched the 5% yield mark yesterday. Again, pulling back about six basis points this morning. We also want to get a check on oil. Data showing a surprise drop in U.S. crude stocks last week. Generally a positive sign for demand, but right now we're seeing the oil market continues to be under pressure, falling just a bit from earlier levels. Right now, WTI crude down just about a half a percent, trading just below $83 a barrel. Brent crude, the international benchmark's down just over a third of a percent, just ticking a bit lower right there, trading pretty close to $88 a barrel. Okay. That's your morning setup. Time now for one of your morning's big money movers. We're going to turn our attention back over to Tesla. Shares, they are soaring this morning despite first quarter profit and revenue both dropping. Our Phil LeBeau joins us now on the CNBC Newsline. Phil, good morning. It seems like investors are looking a lot less at the numbers and they're looking more. Get ready for the pun. You're going to probably hear it a few times this morning. More on the road ahead. I had to throw the pun in there.
Yes.
Good morning.
Yes. We will hear that pun quite a bit. We've already heard it in the last 12 hours. Look, you have to realize that what the investors are focused on is how does Tesla reinvigorate growth? And they're going to do that, they say, through newer models. We'll talk about that in a bit. Let's quickly go over the numbers for the first quarter. Any way you look at it, an ugly quarter. Profit down 9%, profit down 45%, excuse me, revenue down 9% year over year. By the way, that revenue drop, the biggest year over year drop since 2012, negative free cash flow of $2.5 billion. We know the story time and again. The volumes are drying up, and that's hitting the profit of Tesla. How do they reinvigorate that? By bringing out lower-priced, more affordable models. They say that they will start accelerating their plans for that, with production starting likely in the first half of next year, potentially even at the end of this year, though when you talk with everyone in the auto industry, almost everybody says the same thing, which is highly, highly unlikely we see production start this year, more likely in the beginning of next year. And we still don't know what we're talking about or what Elon is talking about when he says more affordable priced models. Are we talking about a variation on the Model 3 or the Model Y, which will strip down the costs and therefore potentially bring in new buyers? That's one idea. Here's Elon Musk talking on the conference call last night about their vision for more affordable priced models.
These new vehicles, including more affordable models, will use aspects of the next generation platform as well as aspects of our current platforms, and will be able to be produced on the same manufacturing lines as our current vehicle lineup. So it's not contingent on any new factory or massive new production line. It'll be made on our current production lines much more efficiently.
Big question will be, what will this do for deliveries, especially as you look out into 25 and 26? The growth rate for deliveries, which was up 38% last year, it's not going to be 38% this year. It'll be notably lower, in the words of Tesla, though Elon Musk did say, Frank, during the conference call, that they do expect deliveries this year to increase compared to last year. And last year, the delivery total is 1.81 million vehicles. Frank?
So, Phil, I got another big question for you. What about robo-taxi? So we had a guest on earlier saying that he believes that Tesla can get to level 4, just a step below level 5, which is the highest level of autonomous driving. How realistic is the idea of a robo-taxi anytime in the near future? You've been one of the most educated and sobering voices when it comes to this.
Well, on paper, it makes a world of sense, and it opens up an incredible possibility for driving much greater growth and profit. On paper, the question becomes, how realistic is it that Tesla's technology, which is vision-based, camera-based, and using the neural net technology and AI that Tesla has developed, how quickly can that come to market? They say it can happen very quickly. And my guess is when they give us the robotaxi unveil in August, they will likely put out some type of a timeline out there. I don't know, 26, 27, 28, where they start to put this in geofenced areas, much as you see Waymo in the Scottsdale, Phoenix area. Those are driverless vehicles, but it's in a geofenced area. You just can't get in a Waymo and say, take me to Flagstaff, Arizona. That's likely where we will see the start of robotaxi for Tesla. The question becomes when and where.
All right, a lot of questions, I think, there. Looking at Tesla shares right now, up over 10.5%. Phil LeBeau, always great to talk to you. Have a great day. All right, time now for a check on some of this morning's top corporate stories. Our Silvana Hanau is at CNBC HQ with those. Silvana, good morning once again.
Hey, Frank, good morning again. Shares of HashiCorp moving higher after the Wall Street Journal said IBM is in talks to acquire the cloud software company. We are seeing shares fractionally higher in the pre-market. Now, the Journal says a deal could materialize in the next few days, though HashiCorp and IBM both tell CNBC they do not comment on speculation. Revenue during HashiCorp's most recent quarter jumped 23% compared to IBM's 2% increase during the same period. In Washington, the FTC banning employers from using non-compete contracts to prevent workers from joining rival firms. The measure marks the first time the agency has instituted a mandate around how companies compete in more than 50 years. The Chamber of Commerce will reportedly sue the FTC this week before the regulation goes into effect in August. And Oracle says it's planning to move its world headquarters from Austin, Texas, to healthcare epicenter Nashville, Tennessee. Speaking yesterday, Oracle Chairman Larry Ellison says the company is relatively new to the healthcare sector, but has a moral obligation to solve that industry's problems. Oracle joins the dozens of other health system startups and investment firms currently based in Nashville, Frank.
That's really interesting. I don't think big tech in Nashville, but it could be the start of a trend. Who thought
we'll
big tech in Austin a couple years ago? But now look at it. All right. Silvana, thank you very much.
Got it.
All right. Coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, Meta looking to keep up its red hot run to start the year. It's up more than 40% as it prepares to roll out results. The key factors that could keep driving gains. We're going to break it all down when Worldwide Exchange returns. Meta shares up just over 2% right now. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Tesla, not the only Mag 7 member in focus today. We're also watching shares of Meta ahead of earnings after the close. Second only to Nvidia, Meta is one of the best performing Mag 7 stocks this year as its quote unquote year of efficiency helps reaccelerate growth. The big question now is whether Meta can sustain that balance between cost cutting and investments in AI, data centers, and the metaverse. Yeah, they're still investing in the metaverse. Joining me now to discuss, Alex Kantrowitz, big technology founder and a CNBC contributor. Alex, good morning. Hello from London. Looking at the stock chart right now, Meta shares up more than 40% year to date. What are you listening and looking for in this report? What do you think can keep this momentum going?
Just because it's run up so much on the year, right? Up 43% on the year, 1.26 trillion market cap. So where is the room for Meta to really to blow out earnings to the point where it can keep growing? It's going to be tough to find. Now, we're expecting 26% revenue increase to around $36 billion on the quarter. You know, is there a chance that the company can far exceed that potentially? But it might just be a positioning thing where it's going to say we've done the advertising thing. Now you start to look at us more of, as an AI stock. And that might be the story it needs to tell to continue to sustain growth in the stock market.
You know what? The year of efficiency, that always sounded to me like a line that George Costanza would say on Seinfeld, but it really seems to have resonated with investors. I mean, look at the stock chart we just mentioned, up 40% year to date. But during this quote unquote year of efficiency, Meta is still spending very big on AI. We are starting to see the fruits of that labor. I don't know if you've ever been on Instagram with the Meta AI on Instagram. Not great, but at least we know where it is. You know, we can find it and use it. You also noted that Meta raised the top end of its CapEx guidance. It was 30 to 35 billion. Now it's 30 to 37 billion. How do you think investors are going to react if we see that CapEx guidance go higher? Do we need to see, or in your mind, commentary from Meta to justify that raise in CapEx?
Well, I think the justification is right out there, which is that you need to be spending to remain competitive in AI. And you're right. The Meta AI bot not only got an upgrade last week, but a standalone website. And it went from this Llama 2 model to Llama 3 effectively as they released Llama 3. And Llama 3 trained on 10 times more data and 100 times more compute. 100 times more compute. Remember, every single one of these H100s, these NVIDIA chips, cost about the amount of an Audi, and Meta is supposed to have 650,000 either NVIDIA H100 GPUs or equivalent by the end of the year. So this stuff is costly. And investors may not love the fact that they're going to be spending more, but they also have to understand the broader story. And that is that this is going to be the area where Meta is going to be competitive. It's an area of new growth. And they have to be understanding. Now, they might end up coming in line with the expectations on costs. But even if it's a little higher, I think investors should give the company a little bit more patience as it pursues this AI strategy.
Okay. Another big issue. We're seeing higher for longer rates. That's certainly weighing on different parts of the economy. How do you see that impacting Meta's ad business? A big part of their ad business is small and medium-sized business who are disproportionately hit by higher rates.
Yeah, so the ad business has really come back in a lot of ways this year, and that's why we're seeing they're expected to do 26% more ad revenue this year. I mean, this quarter, that's an incredible increase from the base there. I mean, talk about $36 billion in revenue in a quarter. It's unbelievable. But that being said, if we do have higher for longer rates, we might end up seeing advertisers pull back because they're being pressed by their teams to say, hey, is every single dollar that we spend something that we can get an ROI on, something that is efficient for us and not waste? And so those questions are going to come up anew if we see that we don't, for instance, we don't have any rate decreases this year. The pressure is going to come from the CFO down on the CMO, and there's a potential that it does impact Meta's bottom line.
All right, we got to leave the conversation there. Meta shares up 2% ahead of earnings. Alex Kantrowitz, always great to see you and talk to you. Thank you.
Thank you for
all right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, a morning call sheet and a bullish call on Airbnb, sending that stock higher in the pre-market. Right now, shares up over 1.5%. And if you haven't already, follow our podcast. If you miss Worldwide Exchange, check us out on Apple, Spotify, or other podcast apps. Much more Worldwide Exchange coming up right after this. All right, welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. It's time now for your morning call sheet. We start with Mizuho upgrading its rating and price target on Airbnb, moving it to a buy in 200 per share. It sees a number of catalysts on the horizon, including the potential launch of sponsored listings and advertising monetization. As I mentioned earlier, Airbnb shares up over 1.5%. Citi upgrading its rating on SiriusXM from a sell to neutral. Citi saying it sees the risk-reward scenario around that stock as now being more balanced. Shares of Sirius up just about 3.5%. And KeyBank initiating coverage of Supermicrocomputer with a sector weight rating. KeyBank says while Supermicro shares are currently trading relatively in line with its infrastructure peers, it believes the company's faster growth deserves a premium, at least in the near term. Shares of Supermicro, they're up just over 2.5%. All right, time now for your global briefing. We are watching shares of Kering after the company warned profit will plunge up to 45% during the first half of the year. Kering is the owner of the Gucci brand, also the YSL brand. They've been working to revive Chinese consumer demand for products. Gucci sales, they tumbled 18% in the first quarter. You see Kering shares down more than 8%. Considerably better picture for Volvo Cars, who expects strong demand for its vehicles this year. The upbeat outlook follows a jump in Q1 unit sales, though operating earnings did miss forecast because of lower revenue and losses at its Polestar business. Volvo is also reiterating its full-year sales volume forecast of at least 15%. Volvo shares up just about 0.25% right now. And Roche says it will return to sales growth this year as demand for its eye drug continues to rise. The drug maker adding the rest of the year will no longer suffer from inflated year-over-year sales comparisons caused by COVID-related sales. Roche is betting on increased market share in the weight loss drug arena with its recent $2 billion purchase of Carmot. Shares of Roche right now down just over 2.5%. All right, coming up here on Worldwide Exchange, we have the one word that every investor needs to know today. Plus, Mark is looking to keep the win streak going while our next guest says the selling, it may not be done, at least not yet. We'll be right back right after this break. Welcome back to Worldwide Exchange. Time now for your WEX wrap-up. We start with Tesla. Shares soaring despite a dismal Q1 profit and revenue report. Investors instead choosing to focus on Tesla, saying it will speed up the launch of new models, including more affordable cars, and discussing plans for a robo-taxi and a ride-hailing network. Shares of Tesla up over 10%. The Senate passing that bill that would force TikTok's parent company to sell the social media app or face a potential ban in the U.S. The bill now goes to President Biden. who said in a statement immediately after passage that he will sign it today. The approval of that TikTok bill coming as part of a larger package that will also provide billions in foreign aid. That includes roughly $60 billion for Ukraine aid, $26 billion for Israel, and $8 billion for Taiwan and Indo-Pacific security. Shares of Visa, they're popping on the back of earnings, payments volume increasing by 8% and processed transactions by 11%. The company also reiterating its full-year revenue guidance of low double-digit revenue growth. Shares of Visa up over 2.5%. Shares of Texas Instruments, they are also rallying. Revenue guidance coming in above expectations as slumping demand for analog semiconductor finally shows some signs of easing. Shares of TI up just about 7%. And Bloomberg is reporting that the IPO for Rubrik, the cloud and data security startup backed by Microsoft, is 20 times oversubscribed. The company is looking to sell 23 million shares for between $28 and $31 each, giving it a value of around $5.4 billion at the top of the range. All right, the market rebound, looking to extend its run with the S&P and the Dow now less than 4% from record highs. Taking a look at future, bit of a mixed picture now. We're seeing the Dow looking like it would open 40 points lower. The S&P basically flat. It's the NASDAQ off of its lows, but up just under 0.5% right now. Tesla giving it a big boost. Joining me now is Craig Johnson, Chief Market Technician at Piper Sandler. Craig, good morning. It's always great to see you. Want to get a sense of how you see today shaping up. What's your WEX word of the day?
Frank, good morning. And the WEX word of the day is relief. And I see three things that are giving investors relief at this point in time. Number one is that the Middle East is not getting worse at this point in time. It seems to be settling down. Number two is that at this point, the market is due for a relief rally at this point. And number three, we are not seeing earnings getting any sort of getting weaker at this point in time. So you're getting a little bit of relief that this earnings season is not as bad as what it looked like it was going to be when the banks started reporting earnings a week or so ago, Frank.
All right. So you're saying it's not as bad as it could have been. I'm looking at the latest numbers right now. EPS up 3%, revenue up almost 10%, 9.5%. So you're saying that this is going to give investors the confidence to continue to invest, put money back in the market, because there was just actually a B of A note out yesterday saying that a lot of their clients, they were pulling some money out of the market and pulling money specifically out of ETFs into individual stocks.
You know, after it going, yes, Frank, and then after going down like 6 days in a row, it's about time we get a little bit of a relief rally. And I think that's exactly what we're getting. And at this point in time, this thesis of what we talked about for all of 2024 was this sort of high level trading range or HLTR. That is definitely unfolding as we speak. We think that this relief rally probably will carry on for the S&P 500, probably at about 5125. And then we think it'll ultimately stall out. We're going to be testing the lower end of this consolidation range, Frank, over the next couple of months, which we think is probably around 4,600 to 4,800 range. Look for a more meaningful rally in the market at that point. But then again, further consolidation until we get done with the election in November, Frank.
You know, just for context for the audience, you've kept your S&P price target. You have been consistent. You haven't raised it like a lot of other people have at 50-50, about, 20 points below where we're at right now. So you're sticking with that thesis. I want to talk to you about some of the picks you came to us with in your most recent note, actionable stocks. One of them is Morgan Stanley. I thought that was pretty interesting. Morgan Stanley obviously facing some potential investigations there. At the same time, I'm going to go back to that B of A note. They said they saw the biggest inflows in the financials since before the pandemic, all the way back to August of 2019. Are you bullish on this one name in particular, or is it financials in general that you see having an upside?
Well, Frank, we're overweight financials at this point in time. And the reason we are is because we're seeing some profit taking in a lot of these Mag 7 stocks. We've talked about those going from Mag 7 to Lag 7. And as the profits start to come out of those, the money needs to go somewhere. And financials is a great place to go. If you look at what's happening with some of the investment banking businesses at this point, two bad years, not likely to get a third. So you see stocks like Morgan Stanley definitely starting to pick up. Like them, also like the JP Morgans of the world, and also think okay. ICE and some of the others look constructive too.
All right, one of the other picks, really quickly, Nutrien, ticker NTR, a fertilizer company. Why are you bullish on that right now, just out of curiosity?
Well, I mean, when we look at the chart of Nutrien, this is a stock that, from our perspective, is at a pretty good washout point, looks more interesting sort of downtrend reversal starting to unfold.
Okay. All right, short and sweet. Craig Johnson, it is always a pleasure. Some of your picks for us today, Morgan Stanley and also Nutrien. Good to see you as always. One more quick look at the futures right now. As you mentioned, it's kind of a mixed picture right now. We're seeing the NASDAQ firmly in the green, getting a boost off Tesla earnings. But the Dow actually moving to its lows of this morning. Down, looking like it would open about, well, actually off of its lows, looking like it would open about 30 points lower. That's going to do it for us. You've been listening to CNBC's Worldwide Exchange. You can always catch us live weekdays at 5 a.m. Eastern.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.